Bibles to Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 6. I, in case we have more people here later, I'm going to wait to give my disclaimer. Okay, so I've given a disclaimer in every one of these lessons, but I'll give one here in a little bit. But I want everybody to hear it because you know these are weighty subjects, and so it's good to know that this should be a message of encouragement, but it also should be a message of conviction because that's what God's Word does. That's what it does to us. It should cut us. It should open us up, and it should also let us know, or it does let us know, that we have hope, and we should take hope in that. If someone could read Proverbs 20, verse 6. Yeah, that's, I may have the wrong one. Is that Proverbs? Well, yeah, that is a good one. 20, verse 6, yeah. Faithful man who can find. So that, you know, that's the question this morning for us, because you know the faithful man is one who's going to provide for his family. He's one who's going to protect his family, and the question here is, well, who can find a faithful man? It ought to be reminiscent of when we talked about the excellent woman. If you remember, Proverbs 31 says, "The wife of a noble character, who can find?" So, and then Proverbs 31 goes on to tell us what she looks like. So today we're going to be looking at it, you know, because a faithful father, again, he is one who protects and provides for his family. That's what a faithful man does. And a lot of men will say, well, I do that. I love my wife. I love God. I love my children. I protect. I provide. But a lot of men aren't telling the truth. Their legacy shows us differently. So our charge is to be faithful. A faithful man is one who's going to be faithful to God. He's going to be faithful to his wife. He's going to be faithful in fulfilling those duties and responsibilities of protecting and providing. And what we'll see here today is that's not just a physical challenge. That is a spiritual charge. We're supposed to not only physically provide and protect our family's men, we're also supposed to spiritually protect and provide for them. If you think about it, any man can protect his home. Any man can provide for his home, can work. But it takes a Christian man that can spiritually protect and provide for his family. Also, if you think about it, it really takes a Christian man to realize that even the non-Christian man who protects and provides for his family, he is not the one that is ultimately doing that. It is through the grace of God that non-Christian homes have any protection or provision. So the faithful man, though, can both physically and spiritually provide and protect. And so the outline this morning is a faithful man knows his position. So he knows his station in life. He protects his family both spiritually and physically. And he provides for his family both spiritually and physically. And then finally, if we have time, he preserves his family both spiritually and physically. So this is not just a lesson for... you know, I wouldn't even say guys my age because I'm an older father, but those who have young children in the home, this is a lifetime charge. If you are a husband, even if you don't have children, you're the head of your household. So it's a charge for life. Turn to Psalm 3:6. Psalm 3:6. So the faithful man knows his position in life. And while you're turning to Psalm 3:6, let me read Psalm 2:12 to you. Blessed are all who take refuge in Him. So the faithful man knows his position, and his position is this. We're here, God is here. We are to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. So if you're truly going to protect and provide for your family, you have to humble yourself before God. You have to know that the very breath you take, is from God. Any protection or provision He provides is from God. If someone could read Psalm 3:6 for me. So here's David, and he's saying, I am not going to be afraid of thousands of people. I mean, how many times have we been afraid of one person, right? And David is saying, I'm not afraid of thousands of people. One of my former pastors, Steve Gaines, used to say, the more time you spend with God, the less time you will fear man. So that's what David's saying here. We see the reason. Turn over to Psalm 4. Verse 8, if someone could read that. Psalm 4, verse 8. So why is David not afraid of thousands around him? Because he knows that his safety is in the Lord. That's why, and not only is he not afraid, he can lie down in peace and he can sleep. So, you know, you if you want to provide and protect your family, you have to know your position. And your position is God is sovereign. God is almighty. It is God who provides the protection and the provision. So God provides that protection. The faithful man knows that God is sovereign. And this is something we can easily forget daily, moment by moment. This is why, you know, what I've taken great comfort in is the Psalms. I try to read the Psalms every day, at least the Psalm of the day, as I also try to read Proverbs, because it grounds you, it recenters you, it reminds you of who God is, it reminds you of who you are, and then if you're a believer, it reminds you of who you are in Him. And so that's what David sees here. Psalm 27 says, some trust in chariots and some trust in horses, but we will trust in the name of the Lord our God. And when I hear that verse, I think, how many years have passed since that verse was written? And it's the same thing back then. What were men trusting in? They were trusting in technology. They were trusting in the might of the horse. They were trusting in things they had. Nothing's changed. It's the same nature of man. But we are to trust in the name of the Lord our God. All right, turn one more chapter over to Psalm 5. If someone could read Psalm 5, verses 11 through 12 for me. So we saw that God is the ultimate as far as protecting us, but He's also the one that provides for us. He's the one that gives us favor. You know, I don't know about y'all, but I like favor. I think favor is a good thing, right? Especially God's favor. So He blesses us with that. Something we should pray for, not only for us, for our family. So He blesses us with favor. He is sovereign. If you think about it, He owns and controls all the resources of this world and all the people in it. And so He can do with them and it what He wants to, and He can use it for our good how He sees fit. Psalm 127:1 says, unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. So it doesn't matter how much protection you have. I'm a security guy just because I think because of my background in the military and the you know, things I've encountered in life where I've seen family hurt. I've seen I'm not naive to the dangers of this world. So I like security. I like guns. I like gates. I like dogs. But you know what? I am ultimately not responsible, and I'm ultimately unable to protect my family unless God is the one protecting my family. So He has given us common sense to do what we need to do to protect, but He is ultimately in charge. Yes, sir. Thank you. Yep. And for those of us that know Him, know that we're here for a short time. They may kill our body, but you know, death, where is your sting? We are going to be eternally with Him. So I think the point there is I would caution you, fathers, do be concerned about it. Do have a plan for it. Do have a strategy for it. But don't be consumed by it. Don't be overwhelmed by it, because He is ultimately in charge. And, you know, in recent years, we have seen open wickedness in our society on display more than ever in my lifetime. And we've also seen it, up until recently, be endorsed by the government. Not only endorsed, it's been celebrated, and it's been spread around the world by, unfortunately, the United States of America. And I've heard parents, including myself, I've said these words: well, I hate it that my children and my grandchildren are going to have to grow up in this culture that seems to be getting more and more wicked, where there seems to be no, you know, filter from the designs of hell. Turn over to Psalm 12, verses 7 through 8, and this should give us comfort. This should remind us again of where our protection comes from. Psalm 12, 7 through 8. If someone could read, just read verse 8 first. Someone could read verse 8 for me. So, as vileness and as wickedness is approved, right? So if we take vile things as a government and a culture, and we approve them and lift them up, you know, last year, our president made Easter Transgender Day. If we do those kind of things, then what's going to happen? The wicked are going to come out, and they're going to come out, and they're going to be proud. They're going to strut about on every side. So that's what makes us as Christians sometimes fear for our children. But look at what verse 7 says. Someone read verse 7. So while I'm thankful that our president declared that in the federal government there are only two genders now, I'm thankful for that. I also recognize that may just be a short time respite, and then we're just going to be back to where we were. And ultimately, our hope is not in the government doing the right thing. Our hope here is what verse 7 says, and that is that the Lord will keep them. He will guard us from this generation forever. So God knows, to David's point, God knows the culture and the time and the generation He put your children and grandchildren in. And those times are in His hand. So we need to rely on His protection, His provision, and His sovereignty. Who are we to think that we know better than Him? He knows exactly where He's put us and them. So it's Him who will protect our children. And finally, just a good reminder, you don't have to turn there. Psalm 37:13 says, "But the Lord laughs at the wicked." So, and why? Because He sees that their day is coming. He knows the end of this story. We know the end of this story too. We just unfortunately don't rely on those promises a lot. But God knows. He knows what's going to happen. All right, now let's look at, let's dive into protection. Let's consider the protection that we're called to provide, especially as husbands. For years in my job, one of the main things I do every day is help people protect their assets. And so the question I always ask folks is, what is it you are trying to protect? What is it that you want to protect? We've got to know that first. And to do that, we have to have a plan. And part of that plan is going through those questions. So a plan is required. If you truly want to protect your family, you have to have a plan. Followed by that question, I usually ask, well, what is the priority? Because typically people will name more than one thing. So in the case of the family, the priority should be the marriage. If you are protecting your marriage, the protection of your children will naturally follow. If you don't protect your marriage, there's not a lot of hope for protecting the children. So you need to start with protecting your family. If you protect and nurture your marriage, protecting and providing for your children is going to follow. And I've read this verse in this series. Ecclesiastes 9:9 says, "Enjoy life with the woman whom you love all the days of your fleeting life, which He has given to you under the sun. For this is your reward in life and in your toil which you have labored under the sun. So men, we are called to treasure our marriage. Marriage is a reward. Marriage is a blessing. I believe marriage is a blessing to enjoy, not a hardship to endure. That's, single people take heart. You can have a marriage that is joyful. Will we face hardships when we're in marriage? Of course we will. Of course we will. I think of the lady I was praying for this morning, Ms. Donna. She is in turmoil today because she's burying her husband. Had she never married him and remained single, she wouldn't have those concerns and fears this morning. So there's hardships that come in life. Some of those hardships are no fault of our own. Some of those hardships are fault of our own. It's our flesh, right? But the institution of marriage is a blessing. And will it get hard with health? Will it get hard with other things? Of course. We live in a fallen world and we have fallen bodies. But we need to protect our marriages. You know, there's a reason that the gold, we hope, is behind Fort Knox, right? Because we value it. There's a reason the crown jewels are at the Tower of London, because they need to be protected. If you value something, you're going to protect it. Typically, men who lose their marriages and their families did not value their marriage or their family. Not all the time, but a lot of times. That's what's going on. So you need to value what you're trying to protect. Secondly, with children. Children are a heritage from the Lord. They are a blessing. They are precious. Think about Jesus. He welcomed the little children. Love the souls of your children. Love, bless, and protect your children. So we need to protect our marriage. We need to protect our children. The second question I ask when I'm helping people protect their assets is, what are the threats we're trying to protect against? If we're trying to protect, that means there's something out there that can get us, right? There's something we're trying to protect from. There's a danger. And there's a few of them. And I can't list all of them, but we're going to go through a few of them. Ephesians 6:12. If someone could turn to Ephesians 6:12. And this first threat is Satan and his demons. It's the spiritual darkness that is out there in this fallen world. It's the spiritual order that has been created because of the fall of man. Someone could read Ephesians 6:12. Thank you. So these spiritual forces we can't see, but they are very real. And we need to be aware of them. We don't need to be naive. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour." So Satan would love to devour your marriage. Satan would love to devour children. He hates marriage. He perverts marriage. He wants to see marriage end. He hates children. Abortion is from the devil. He hates children. He hates family. John 10:10 says, "The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy." That's what he wants to do, and we need to be prepared for that. We need to realize that Satan is waiting to do that. The second is others. So other people outside of your marriage and your family, you need to be aware of them. I think this is a good little rule to remember. And this is both for parents and for children. When you're thinking about the protection of your family and your wife and your marriage, it's very important to know your perimeter. So don't allow people who are going to come in and try to kill, steal, and destroy, don't allow them into your perimeter. There are definitely, in the army, we call it rules of engagement. If that starts to happen, you have to recognize that. Of course, that's going to be spiritual. You've got to pray that the Holy Spirit gives you that discernment, that wisdom. But knowing your perimeter is very, very important, especially when it comes to others. Because the mind of the world is set on the flesh. That's what the mind of the world is on. So where can others attack you? Well, one threat is just through relationships. I mean, think about that. Husbands, wives, don't speak intimately, don't act physically, don't do anything with another person other than your husband or wife. If someone is not your husband or your wife, and this goes for kids, teenagers, don't treat them like your husband or your wife. That is one role. That is a special role. We've talked about this. That is the mysterious role that Paul talks about. That is the relationship that Paul says compares to Christ and the church. I mean, I have seen people have someone in their life, a husband have a woman in his life, a wife have another man in their life that they say is their close friend. Husband and wives, you don't need best friends other than your spouses of the opposite sex. Don't need it. Period. If you have teenage daughters, I would warn them. You know, I saw it when I was a teenage guy. If I was talking to a girl, it was not because I wanted to be her best friend. So if you have a teenage girl, you need to warn them. Hey, girls, ladies can look at guys and not even think about romantic relationship. That's a possibility, I believe. I believe that's how God built women. Men, that's not how He built us, okay? So if there's someone hanging out with you and wanting to spend time with you, girl, it's probably someone who doesn't have the courage to ask you out or ask you to marry or whatever. So be very careful about your relationships. If not, you're going to end up in a relationship you shouldn't be in. And this is especially true with marriage. All right, so protect from others. Who else can attack us as far as others? Young children. Be careful where your young children are. There's no reason for our six-year-olds to be spending the night at other people's houses. I heard Pastor Buster Brown of East Cooper, before Lindsay and I had children, he said, be very leery of allowing your young children to spend the night at other people's houses. And he said, I am telling you this because of the experience that I've had, because of the families and the children I've had to counsel because of sexual molestation at the hands of someone that they would never expected would do that. So be very careful where your children are. We also got to be careful not to overdo it, right? We don't want to be helicopter parents. We don't want to keep our kids in a bubble. We don't want our kids to be seniors in high school wearing Winnie the Pooh shirts and, you know, not knowing anything about life. That's not what we're talking about. But we do need to be careful. We do need to protect them. So the other thing we need to be careful of is from the media. I was thinking too, you think when I was growing up, there were a couple of things that could enter your house, either people or TV waves or radio waves. Just think for a minute, all the information in the media that is directed at your house right now. I mean, endless, immeasurable. Media. I would argue our job as parents now is much, much harder because of all that you have to protect from. So be mindful. Our former pastor, Adrian Rogers, used to say, you know, when it comes to language in the home, when it comes to what you're watching on TV, if a man were to walk into your home and speak the way some of us, the people we watch on TV speak, we would immediately kick them out of the home. We wouldn't stand for it. So I think that's a pretty good standard. And of course, the ultimate standard is the verse, you know, in everything you do, give glory to God. So can you give glory to God in what you're watching, what you're listening to? I think that's just an easy standard there. But I will also, I think it's good to warn our children. Our culture is becoming more and more coarse. The language that I used to hear when I was in the Army, I hear coming out of, you know, wives and mothers' mouths. It's unbelievable what's happened. And I think part of that is it's just the technology that we have today. We have streaming. We don't have, guys censoring. We don't have the government looking at all that. It's just coming in unfiltered, and it has taken on a life of its own. So just warn your children to be careful about what they say, what they see. And you cannot control it all. So that's ultimately a heart issue. All right, so relationships is one way. Media is another way. Dads, have frank and ongoing conversations with your children about the temptations they're going to face. This is why Jesus said that we are to, in the Lord's Prayer, right? We are to pray to be delivered from evil and from temptation. We don't want that coming to us. That's why we should pray that every day. Teach your children to pray that. Dads, if you're a dad of a young woman, interview your daughter's dates. There's a I can't remember the guy's name, but I have the book. If anyone wants to ask me, I can give it to you. There's a great book about interviewing your daughter's dates. I would encourage you not to do what was done in my generation, to allow your 16-year-old's daughter to get in a car with a 16-year-old boy and be gone for several hours. That just, if you think about it, just really doesn't make a lot of sense, does it? If you do that, then maybe interview him before he leaves and let him know what your expectations are. Let him know, hey, this is my expectations for you. You should be a gentleman. So interview. That's the whole gist of that book, Interview Your Daughter's Date. So we're called to protect our family. We're called to protect them from others. We're called to protect them from the media. But let me tell you the worst threat that we have, and this is sobering and it is true, and that is, men, it is our flesh. Can Satan attack you? Will Satan attack you? Of course, of course. But your greatest threat every day is not that Satan's going to attack you. Your greatest threat is your flesh. It is that old flesh that we still have. But there's good news, and that good news is that our new nature, our new way is to not sin. We still struggle with the flesh, but unlike the lost, who their very nature is to sin, ours, we have the hope in Christ. We have a new nature. So guard against your flesh. I'm not going to spend too much time on this because I know DB talked about this last week about guarding against your flesh, about being pure. But we know that sin blinds, our flesh blinds. So typically, men, we are either blinded to the effect of our sin, right? So we don't recognize the consequences because we're blinded to it. We don't realize the consequences of our sin to our family that we're called to value and protect. Or we might be prideful, you know? We might have been given the grace and mercy of God and taken advantage of that and are walking with Him and not struggling with things we used to struggle with and then become prideful about it. I've seen men say, well, I would never fall. I would never do this. I would never do that. When you do that, you are setting yourself up for a fall. Think about King David, a man after God's own heart. So be careful not to set yourself up for a fall. Again, this is the reason Jesus taught us to pray for deliverance. Pray that we don't fall to temptation and to evil. So guard your heart. It's the reason in Ephesians 6, Paul charges us with putting on the whole armor of God, right? Put on the whole armor of God to protect our family. Psalm 1, turn to Psalm 1. I think this is the best way to protect our family. I need to hurry up. While you're turning there, years ago I listened to a sermon series by John MacArthur, and if you're a parent, I would encourage you to listen to it. And I believe the title was Providing Shade for Your Children. And it all revolved around men, us being the tree that provides shade for our children, provide fruit as provision. We provide shade and protection for them. We should be the oak tree for our family. That's what God calls us to be, and we see that in Psalm 1. I'm going to read the New King James Version because that's how I memorized it. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. So if you want to be the tree for your family, if you want to provide that fruit, if you want to provide that protection, if you want to provide that shade, verse 2 tells you, man, what to do. If we don't hear anything else in this lesson, this is it right here. Look at what he delights in. His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. So he is meditating on the word day and night throughout the day. He's delighting in it because he's meditating on it. And then he's able to provide the protection and provision for his family. That's the key right there. There's a lot of practical tips I've talked about. I'll give you a few more, but that's the key right there. Psalm 1. That's our charge as husbands. All right, let's talk real quick about the physical protections. I've talked about the spiritual protections. As with spiritual threats, we don't need to be naive about the physical threats to the world. You know, we are called to be the protector and provide protector of our wife, protector of our children. If you however you do that, I don't think God's word tells us you have to take karate or you have to have a gun or you have to carry a knife. I mean, I think that's up to you. But I also don't think it is unbiblical to have a weapon. I will say that. And I think Scripture is clear about that. Many would say, well, Jesus says, turn the other cheek. I fall on the side of interpretation that says that's speaking more to insults. So the slap on Jesus' face, yes, sir. That's a great point. Yeah, the force, what Richard said, if you didn't hear him, is the force to Jesus was talking about the slap was not a lethal force. I would also point to Peter. The man that was at Jesus' side was carrying a sword. Jesus doesn't condemn him for carrying a sword. He condemns him for using lethal force against a non-lethal threat. We're called to physically protect our family. We're also called to physically provide for family. Men, Scripture is clear. This won't take long. 1 Timothy 5:8, but if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Can the wife work and help you? Of course. Of course. Many wives are supporting the house as well. But the ultimate responsibility is the man is to provide for his household. And if he doesn't, he's worse than an unbeliever. And I would argue this is a commitment not only in life, but also in death. You know, Proverbs says a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. So if you die to, and I'm not saying this just because this is what I do for a living, but it's probably why I think more about it. But if you are incapacitated, you die tomorrow, do you have a plan? And I don't even mean a will or a trust. I mean, do you have means to protect your family? You know, if you're a young man, do you have insurance? If you're an older man, have you been wise enough with your resources to make sure your wife and children are taken care of? And even a better goal is to make sure you leave something to your children's children. Spiritual provision. We are the spiritual leaders of our household. Next week, I'm going to be teaching on the worship, family worship. So I will not spend much time in that now. But men, we're charged with being the spiritual leaders of our household. We're charged with spiritual worship. We're charged with bringing our families to church. But we're also charged with talking with them, we know from Deuteronomy, as we go along the way, right? As we, throughout the day, we're charged with speaking wisdom, speaking God's word to them, bathing your wife in the word. I mean, that's so convicting. How many opportunities do we miss not using Scripture? I know when our children would wake up scared in the middle of the night, thankfully because we had heard this from a pastor, not only would we go comfort them, but we would also give them Scripture to rely upon. And then I've noticed as they get older, if you do that, when they face threats, if you give them Scripture to go to, that's better than any psychobabble you can give them. Okay? God's Word is powerful. Give them the promises of Scripture. This should be true when they're older. When they come to you, Dad, when your kids are out of the house, look for opportunities to use Scripture to give them wisdom. Give them that spiritual provision. Every crisis your child faces, there is an answer to it in God's Word. Every crisis. And that's the neat thing about what we'll see when we go through family worship. That's the neat thing about God's Word. Every issue is going to come up. As you go through God's Word with your family, you're going to be able to talk to them about the issues of life. Provide affection to your wife and your children. They need it. Especially guys with daughters. Don't stop touching your daughter because she's going through puberty or she's going through a weird stage or she doesn't want you to touch you. Keep hugging your daughter. If you don't do it, someone else is going to do it sooner than they should do it. So provide affection for your children. Provide affection for your wife. Give them blessings and encouragement. Build them up. I was convicted years ago before we have children to bless my children every night. Bless them. Pray for them. Pray for them. Pray for them in front of them. Pray for them when they're not here. Pray for them. Pray the word for them. Pray that they grow in wisdom and favor and stature. You know, we want them to be wise. We want them to grow up and be healthy. We also want favor for them. I can tell you as a guy who hires and fires people, most parents out there are not raising their children to be good members of society. And what happens? They come to work and they're not humble, they're not hungry, they're not fearful of authority. Why? Because they were never taught it in the home. If you are, Pastor Nick's going to teach on discipline, but I'll tell you this, if you are spending your time reasoning with your children instead of disciplining them, you're not producing good members of society. I can tell you right now, my dad never reasoned with me about obedience. If I ever did ask why, I promise you I only asked it once. He never said, "Now, Tripp, I need you to listen to me because you need to do this because these are the..." No. What he said is what I did. So, dads, do your children fear your voice? Should they love you? Should they spend time with you? Should they enjoy being with you? Of course. But they should also know the sound of your voice. And when you say stop it, stop it. If they don't, that's how kids get run over in streets. If you have to reason with your child, they're the ones that are going to keep going in the street. If you say stop, they're going to stop. That's that favor, that's that wisdom that we need to provide for our children, that discipline. Okay, so one other thing real quick. Give them opportunities to work. Give them opportunities. Our children, I'm always amazed, your children can do more than you think. I substitute taught years ago, and I substitute taught kindergarten classes sometimes, and I would go in and it would be like a nursery. Then I would go in someone else's class, and it was like a factory. Kids can do more than you think. Give them responsibility. Give them authority. All right, last piece is preservation. A faithful man preserves his family physically and spiritually. So just because your children are now gone from the family and they're out on their own, doesn't mean this doesn't continue. Proverbs 25:26 says this, "Like a muddied spring or a polluted fountain is a righteous man who gives way before the wicked." I mean, there's nothing worse than seeing an older man's legacy destroyed because of a lack of integrity at the end of his life. He becomes a muddied spring or polluted fountain. Guys, we need to pray that that's not where we're going to be. I mean, so many of us know. So many of us have seen pastors do this. So many of us have seen people we know. I mean, it's just an awful thing. And Paul has charged us to finish the race well. That needs to be our prayer. We need to pray that we will finish well. And to do that, we've got to be disciplined. We've got to be on guard. And we've got to realize, again, what we're protecting and why we're protecting. And I was going to read to y'all the last part of the first passage we read because I think it's kind of sums this up. Proverbs 27 says this. So we started out with 20 verse 6, a faithful man who can find. Verse 7 says this, "The righteous who walks in his integrity, blessed are his children after him." That's our call, to walk in integrity. And if we do that, we're going to protect and provide for our family. All right, we've got a couple of minutes for any questions or comments. Yes, sir. I'm sorry. De-escalation. You're right. De-escalation is a great form of protection. Yeah, I tell people in my office, if someone comes in and says Tripp's a crazy person and they've got a gun, you tell them, you're right, Tripp's a crazy person. You agree with everything they say. De-escalation is a good thing. Yes, sir. Yeah, that's true. That's great. One more comment, Brody. And I've saved my disclaimer for the last. So I was thinking about, you know, again, these lessons, if you've ever taught, these are very convicting lessons, especially this subject. So you know, I stand before you as a sinner saved by grace. But the beautiful thing that we have as Christians, again, is hope. You know, David knows we were both Citadel graduates. In our uniform, we had the state motto of South Carolina, which is, I would argue, is a Christian motto. You know, while I breathe, I hope. If you don't know Christ, you can't say that motto truthfully. If you don't know Christ, you have no hope. You are hopeless. But we as Christians, though we fail, when we are reminded of the word that cuts us, we also should be reminded that we have the hope in Christ and we have the help of the Holy Spirit. And so my prayer for us is to take the word, and also the other hope we have is, you know, God's word tells us that even if you feel like you failed in any of these areas, and I know we all have, God has the ability to restore the years that the locusts have eaten. So if you are awake today, and everybody looks to be awake, we have hope. It is a new day. His mercies are new every morning. Let's pray before we go.